Hello, and welcome to the Transient Wool Merchants. If this is your first time, buckle up. If you're a returning listener, thank you so much for coming back to the Crazy Town. I'm Amy.
I'm Heather.
And this is Episode 8, Rhinebeck Recap and Saf Stuff.
So, last weekend, we were at Rhinebeck. That's in New York State. And Amy, with Ross Farm, was a vendor. And how did it go?
Oh, my heavens. It was unbelievable. It was beyond my wildest dream. I keep saying, you know, when all of your dreams come true, what do you do next? Because it was just such an amazing experience. Everybody was so kind and so welcoming and so pleasant, and we didn't have any drama or any folks who, you know, couldn't understand why our yarn wasn't dyed or, you know, why we raise weird sheep. They all really got it. It felt like we were in some place where
they were like your people.
Yeah.
They were your tribe.
Yeah. We were, you know, appreciated and understood, which hasn't always been
the case.
Yeah, hasn't always been the case since we started, you know, vending rare breeds in natural colors. A lot of people have told us that, you know, things would sell much better if we just dye it, or, you know, don't you have any merino?
Well, so it was incredible. We met lots of people. The Yarn Harlot was in your booth, which was the highlight of my weekend.
yeah, and I wouldn't have even known it if you hadn't said, you know, the woman taking photographs and talking over there in the corner is the Yarn Harlot. You were not going to squeal. You were not going to embarrass me.
I didn't quite put it that way. I said she was more like kind of incognito, and she would probably appreciate a crowd not developing because someone went, "Oh my gosh, it's the Yarn Harlot!"
So inside my head, I'm screaming, "Oh my gosh, it's the Yarn Harlot!"
But you were very cool.
I tried to be. And I actually had a conversation with her, and at no point did I scream, "Oh my gosh, you're the Yarn Harlot." And it was interesting to stand there and watch her take photographs of my stuff and hear her telling her companions that she had my yarns in her stash because, wow, that's not something I ever thought would happen.
Yeah, I mean, she has my yarn in her stash because I gave it to her when I took the class, not because she bought it. There's a difference there.
Yeah, apparently she's been in my booth before. But, you know, you don't expect that the Niterati walks amongst you, you know?
Right, and we met a lot of podcasters.
Yeah, there was Amy and Darren from Knitting in Circles, and Sarah Pomegranate from Yarns at Yinhu.
And that girl with the purple hair.
That's Minerva Turkey.
Okay.
From Minerva Turkey Knits. And of course, Laura Nelkin was there. Mm-hmm. And Kirsten Kapoor came into the booth, which was another squeal-worthy moment, because, you know, most of the patterns I've knit have either been Laura Nelkin or Kirsten Kapoor. And so it was, you know, it was really an honor for her to come in to the booth and talk with us. Who else? It just seemed like a parade.
It was just like person after person. You're like, oh my gosh, there's another person.
Amy Herzog.
Right.
Amy Herzog. Yeah, that was very cool. And then I got to go meet Beth Smith. I got the one thing that I wanted that whole weekend was a signed copy of the Beth Smith book. And I got that, so that was really cool. And I got to meet the lady from Wild Fibers, which may develop into something.
Cool.
So.
And if we sound really tired, it's because it's the last day of SAF, and we haven't really been home in like 3 months.
Yeah, I was home for 36 hours between Rhinebeck and SAF. So
I got home at about 10 o'clock Monday night, and left my house at about noon on Thursday.
Yeah, so it was, thank God this is, like, nearly the last one.
Because we're kind of done. I had a flat as I got to SAF.
On the camper.
On the camper. So my camper was not flaming, but we were definitely having mobility issues. I thought it was my fault because I stopped at my parents' house on the way up here. And their driveway is a semicircle of gravel with railroad ties on one side and their house and their front porch on the other. And I was trying to make sure I did not hit the front porch. And I was by myself, so I didn't have anybody to spot me. And I clipped the railroad ties with the back trailer tire. And I pulled into SAF, and thankfully, Scooter Pie was willing to park my camper and get it done in one shot. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have a low tire. And by the time we got it parked, it was like a flat tire.
Mm.
So here I was feeling guilty. Well, we got Good Sam to come out, and he said, nope, you ran over a screw. So he patched it, and we're in good shape.
Oh, cool. So you can...
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, you can return that tire you bought.
For the correct size, for one thing. We stopped at Camping World.
Poor Wayne.
To pick up a spare, because we didn't have one, because the camper's new, and so forth and so on. And they sold us the wrong size tire. So we've got to go return that for the correct size, and we'll just keep it as a spare. But we got to get new tires anyway before too long.
Good old Camping World.
There's one down the street.
I know, that's our big...
That's like where we go.
That's our big outing. Want to go shopping? Yeah, let's go to Camping World.
Right. So let's do a quick recap on Rhinebeck food. Where did we eat?
All I made it to was that... Oh.
We ate at the CIA, which we already recapped.
Oh, yeah. That was good. We went to Mariner's Harbor in...
Some town.
Wasn't Hudson.
Mm-mm.
I'll put it in the show notes. Anyways, we went to Mariner's Harbor.
Which was the world's worst... weirdest seafood, not seafood restaurant, because there
it wasn't bad food, it just wasn't at all
seafood. They had Oktoberfest food, and they had
and it said really big food. Outside on the sign, seafood, steaks, and
raw bar.
There was no raw bar that we saw. There was
no
prime rib, which I don't consider a steak.
No,
and
they had no like shrimp cocktail.
No. The only shrimp they had was fried shrimp.
Right. The food was good.
It was good. It was just not at all.
No.
They had an extensive pasta menu that also didn't really have seafood in it.
No.
Just that lobster fra diavolo you had.
Yeah. That was pretty tasty.
And it was just strange. It wasn't at all what I was expecting.
Including our waiter. He was kind of strange, too.
Yeah, our waiter was very strange. And not... terribly attentive. He seemed to have tables all over the restaurant, not like a section,
right.
But like.
So the service was kind of but the food was okay. It was just not what we were expecting.
Right.
And then the next night we tried to go to this Italian restaurant, and we got there and decided we might need like a gun to get out of our cars. So we proceeded on to the Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, that was recommended to us by. Oh, I'll tag her in the show notes, but one of our friends from the road said they'd gone the night before, and we should give it a shot.
Do we remember the name of it?
It was called Mole Mole.
Oh, good job, because I think the menu's on my table.
Well, I always remember it because the Princess Bride, you know, Mole, 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 Mole.
It's been a while since I've seen that one, but
yeah,
yes.
With Richard, what's his name, and his moving mole. So that's how I remember the name of the Mexican
Mole,
restaurant.
Mole, Mole. It was pretty good, and God bless our waitress. We were tired and
were
not
exhausted.
Very fast, and then somebody had two margaritas and was a little toasty.
I should probably post that. I'll put that picture in the
you
show
You should
notes.
Put that picture up, because she
There's
took a picture.
It was, like, the theme was Dia de los Muertos, so they had a skeleton dressed up in, you know, like a...
sombrero.
Party dress and everything out front, and I stopped and took this fish face selfie with the skeleton, and I don't really remember that. Number one, because I was exhausted, and number two, because those margaritas were really awesome.
They were good, and... Scott and I were, like, walking up the street. We turn around, and we're like, where'd Amy go? And the next day, she's like, I don't remember taking this picture.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was fun. It was very, very fun. But the food was awesome.
They had good food. I don't even remember what I ate, honestly. That's how
you
tired
probably,
we are.
Yeah, you probably had enchiladas. It seems to me like you, maybe that was what we had the other night.
I had a burrito, I think.
I think maybe you did, yeah.
It's pretty standard fare for me at Mexican restaurants. And then, the last night, we tried to go to Fork to Table Farm Truck. Well, where did we go?
Well, we were supposed to go to Henry's at the Farm.
Right.
But it was like 20 miles away, and we were tired. So we decided to go to this little restaurant that Lauren Nelkin had told us to go to, called Another Fork in the Road.
Mm.
And actually, I think there may be two restaurants, like maybe someplace there's Fork in the Road, and that's the second location, Another Fork in the Road. I don't know. But anyways, when I looked up the menu online for Another Fork in the Road, which is in Red Hook.
Right.
The menu online was awesome. But I didn't notice that the menu online was from, what, January 28th or something?
Yeah, not even remotely recently.
No, and not even remotely close to what was on the current menu. So I was looking forward to...
It's like going to Sonic, or going to a nice steak restaurant and it being like a Sonic menu. I mean, it was not even remotely similar.
Yeah, like I was looking forward to having a filet and poutine and a caprese salad and like all of these wonderful things that I love that were on the menu. And we got there, and it was like duck, duck, duck.
Goose.
Goose. Yeah, pretty much. Like, the spaghetti was duck liver bolognese or something.
It wasn't that the food on the menu was bad. It was not what we expected, and we were so tired, are you sensing a theme here, that we just couldn't.
Couldn't wrap our brains around it.
And we couldn't appreciate that kind of food right then. So yeah. We all got Patty Melton burgers, which were on the back of the menu.
And mine was excellent.
It was good.
It was really good.
And they had these really awesome garlic fries. And then we were all breathing garlic. It was rather rancid.
Yes.
It was a lot of garlic. But they were really tasty.
Yeah. The food was excellent, even if we just ended up getting the burgers on the back of the menu.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The diner. We went to breakfast 3 days at this diner.
The Red Hook Diner.
Yeah.
The Red Hook Diner.
And
that
they had a special.
Bomb.
With eggs and biscuits with gravy and...
Home fries.
Home fries. And they had really small coffee cups, so that was rather embarrassing. After about your sixth cup, you were kind of like...
You want more coffee? It's like, yeah, you might want to stand there.
The cups were really small, but the breakfast was really good and it was cheap.
Yeah, we went there every day.
I'm kind of cheap. You know that.
Yep.
And then you guys left. You packed up and left. And my flight was not until like 7 o'clock that night. So I drove to Vermont. Checked another state off my list.
Just for general principles.
Just for general principles.
Welcome to Vermont. Okay, where's the next exit?
Well, it was the only state up there I hadn't been to. I've been to New Hampshire and Maine and Massachusetts and New York. And Vermont was on the I needed to check it off. So I went to the... Bennington War Memorial from the Revolutionary War. That was kind of cool. The leaves were beautiful. They all blew off the trees there in New York over the weekend, but they were still really pretty. I went to the Blue Bin Cafe in Bennington. Apparently it's like a famous diner. I just showed up. They didn't take cash. I had to go find an ATM. I was out of cash.
You mean they did take cash? They didn't take cards?
Yeah, that. And I had some kind of, like, turkey avocado cheese...
Yes, please.
...sandwich with some really good sauce, some chips.
Mm.
It's very tasty. I would definitely go there again.
I would like to have that now. It's lunchtime, and that sounds really good.
Is it lunchtime? I think I'm having leftover soup today for lunch. Because we're at SAF, and our husbands are manning the booth, so if anything burns down or gets shoplifted, we're... totally blaming it on them, because so far this morning we've been shopping.
Yes, here's a secret, top secret hint. Sunday morning at SAF, it opens at 9, and there's no line at Miss Babs.
No, we like walked in and bought everything we wanted, which was holy shnikes expensive, because I bought a lot.
Yeah, we both came out of there with a big bag full.
The shopping this weekend has been plentiful, but we're going to cover that in the next episode with our Rhinebeck and SAF purchases.
Yeah, because right now we haven't been home long enough to really even know what we bought.
It's like, oh, I need that, buy it, throw it in the camper, and hope you see it again in a couple of weeks when things calm down.
Yep.
But SAF has been good. Let's see. Thursday night, I rolled in and set up. I didn't get done until late. You guys went and ate with your cousins.
Yes, my cousins came up from Florida. My Florida cousins, they were visiting a friend of theirs in outside of Asheville, and we just happened to be here at the same time, so we were able to get together for dinner, which was nice because I miss them all the time.
And then Friday, we vended all day, and let me tell you, vending from 9 to 6, that's a long day.
It's brutal.
My husband was sick, so he didn't come up until Friday night. And it's just, was Friday cold? I don't even remember. Friday was cold.
It was coldish, yeah.
And my friends, Kathy and Hope and Grace and Jenny, the ladies that kind of introduced me to yarn, came up and I got to see them and they got to see my booth, so that was cool. Shout out to them.
And I feel bad because I had just come from losing the fleece show and ran into them, and I apparently wasn't terribly pleasant at that time.
Those things happen sometimes.
But it's like toddlers and tiaras with wool.
It really kind of is. Everyone kind of turns into drama queens around here. You're like nice, normal people 364 days of the year, and that one other day, you just...
Well, and, you know, I raised them from babies and sheared them just so and fluffed them and presented them nicely in my plastic bag and got beat.
Well,
and I can't yell at the fleece, because...
No, and sometimes there's just some people better.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't that your fleeces did poorly, because you got...
No, they got excellent comments, but, you know, somebody else's was just a little bit cleaner, and that's fine, because, you know, I'm committed to letting my sheep live a sheepy life, and they eat hay, and they play in hay, and they throw hay over their heads all over their backs, because, you know, it's fun to do if you're a sheep. Now, if I put coats on all of them, we'd probably do better, but... I don't like that, because I wouldn't want to wear a coat 24/7, so.
No, that doesn't seem very nice. I mean, I like coated fleeces, because they're super easy
to
clean.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's probably not the way your sheep wants to live his life all the time.
So.
So, I have to admit, I actually listened to the podcast this week, because I really hate listening to myself talk. First of all, I noticed I've got some kind of weird accent going on. In person, I sound like a Mississippi hick. But apparently my vocal training comes through when I record anything, and I've got some weird mishmash of an accent.
Your Missalina accent.
Missalina, there we go. But I read on the comments that we talk about kind of not the nitty-gritty, but like the background of what goes on at these shows.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're at a show, what do people not realize about vending a show? Other than we're exhausted, we probably smell because you stand outside all day.
I think a lot... the thing that I like best about vending these shows is the friendships that we have with the other vendors.
Yeah.
If you followed us on Instagram, you saw the photo that Heather put up of us out to dinner. Well, we didn't even talk about that.
No,
we went
yet.
To Papa's and Beer.
Which is a local Mexican restaurant. It's a local chain. There's like 5 of them here in the Asheville area.
We went to Papa's and Beer with Bob and Katrina and Danielle of Fluffy U Fiber Farm and Joelle of Wondering Wool. And we had, you know, a really, really good time getting to know each other. And, you know, there's so many folks here that basically we're on the circuit with. And a lot of us, you know, have gotten to be really good friends. And, you know, we're kind of almost like this little family that travels around up and down the East Coast to whatever's next.
Yeah. And, you know, you try to help each other out. Because even the big-name vendors, they were small at one point.
Right.
And the ones that it hasn't gone to their head, they're still just as nice as the little vendors.
Yep.
Because you hope to be in their spot one day.
Well, maybe not. But, you know. 120 sheep, I can only...
Well, you can only do so much.
I can only do so much. Like, I could never do a quadruple booth. I'd only do two shows. And I'd be...
That'd be nice.
It would be, but we'd miss it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because our favorite thing... I don't know about you, but our favorite thing is our repeat customers.
Definitely.
The people who are back time after time and... Say, oh, you know, I had Eloise last year, and today I'm going home with Hannah. And, you know, they sort of know my sheep, and they know who they're looking for. And it's just, it's nice visiting with them again.
Yeah. I've had several repeat customers at the show, and I've had several people that came back the day after. Was like, oh, I couldn't get this yarn out of my mind. I had to come back today. Or they're here with a group of ladies, and they go back to the hotel at night, and everybody has show and tell. And then they're like, oh, I saw your yarn. So-and-so bought Witchy Woman, and I've got to have it. Do you have any more of that yarn? So that's exciting. The breakup and set down part.
Not so much fun. No. We've kind of got it down to a science now.
You do.
Yeah.
And my booth floor has sunk, and my grid wall is like floating in midair. I kept wondering why everything was leaning. And it's not because of the yarn, it's because...
It's literally suspended between the two legs of your papa.
It is.
Well, we have to... At SAF, here in the barn, we have to put up pop-ups.
Because it rains inside.
Yeah, well, sort of. Yes.
It condensates. The roof drips after
there's
it's
a
been
metal
cold.
Roof, and when it's humid, it all condensates on the roof, and then when it's cold, it freezes on the roof. And then when the sun comes out, it melts and runs and drips off the roof into the booth. So we have to set up pop-ups inside the building so we don't get wet.
And Schubert, my dog, is sitting here in the camper with us. And he just woke up and was like, oh, that sounds awful. I'm really sorry, Mama.
Yeah, Foof and Tank are over in my camper, but Shuby and Gershwin are here with us.
They are. They enjoy sheep and wolves. They just like being in the camper. They can stand on the table and look out the window.
The crate on wheels.
The crate on wheels. Yes, yeah. It's the crate on wheels.
And Stinkin' Foof. Foof is asleep on my sweatshirt on the floor, but Stink has crawled up in the chair where she can see out all the windows.
And it's always funny, like, there's empty pockets alpacas. They have a motorhome, and they have a Springer Spaniel that sits up in the front window all weekend here at the show, and you walk past, the dog's just sitting there all weekend watching the people go by. Mm-hmm. It's like puppy TV.
Yeah, it's surprising how many people are on the road with their pets. And, you know, I think that's the one thing that makes it a little more tolerable being on the road so much is having them along, because some of the shows we do, there are absolutely no pets allowed anywhere on site at all.
Right.
So we can't bring the girls. But there's just something about being able to crawl in bed at night with your two little dogs that feels a lot more like home.
Well, this is the first show that I've done where I've gotten to stay on site. I gotta say, this is fabulous.
I told you.
Was this the first show? This isn't the first show I've camped at, though. We took the camper to
Shenandoah,
but that's still like a 20-25 minute drive.
Yeah,
out to the show, which is convenient. I mean, you still get to sleep in your own bed, but staying outside, wow, that's like an extra 30 minutes of sleep time.
A 20 or 25 step walk from the camper to the booth.
Yep. Now next year, SAF is changing weekends. And we want to mention that just as much as we can so everybody knows. Next weekend's the weekend of Halloween. It's the 30th, 31st of October, and then the 1st of November.
Yep.
And it's still going to be...
We should have a costume contest.
We should. That would be cool. But it's still going to be here at the North Carolina Agri Center in Arden. But they're moving us into a different building with concrete floors. You know you're a vendor when concrete floors sound like totally sexy items.
Well, because a lot of times we're set up in cat litter.
Well, not actual cat litter.
No, it's...
Sawdust.
Sawdust or wood chips or whatever, till if anything drops, it's just...
Chunky.
Toast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we really appreciate concrete floors. We really appreciate AstroTurf, which is what we have now.
We appreciate walls and ceilings that don't drip.
Yep.
The things that make your life easier are really pretty simple, but when you don't have one of them or any of them,
mm-hmm.
it sometimes really can affect your sales.
Yep.
So next year's SAF is a weekend later. We're getting excited about our show in January, Trunk Show.
Oh, yes. This is going to be spectacular. We are working on a little surprise. Can't say too much, but for the first time ever, some of my product will actually be died by somebody I know here. So it's going to be a collaboration. Most likely one skein of natural and one skein of Keller.
In a kit.
In a kit to make probably either a shawl or a cowl. With the pattern, and maybe a little goodie inside, too.
Right. And this will be a special just for the trunk show in Winter Haven.
Yep, Four Pearls. It'll be the Four Pearls, the Four Pearls kit, which will be only available at the trunk show, at least for the time being.
Right.
That will be the launch. And we're really looking forward to heading to Florida in January, when it will be ridiculously cold where I am.
And it could be cold or not cold where I am. It just depends.
Yep. And I'll be back in time for lambing season. So I'm just really excited about that.
I'll be back in time for piano festival season. I actually got to put some thought into piano festival season. Number one, I'm chairing a piano festival. Number two, my students need the repertoire so they can start practicing on it. If I can get through this weekend and have a couple of days off, then we'll be back. It's not like I'm neglecting my students. I need some time to sit down and think.
Game plan.
Game plan. What are the best choices so that they're going to do well?
Yep.
Anything interesting else about SAF? We went to my parents' house for dinner last night and laughed ourselves silly.
That was so much fun.
So thanks, Mom and Dad, for having us.
Yes, yes. Thank you again. That was amazing. Your mother is the best cook.
She is a pretty good cook.
And, you know, I felt so badly. We were just gushing over her cooking and how wonderful it was. And I said, I can't tell you the last time we had a home-cooked meal. Because we're not home enough to really go get groceries and plan a meal and have meat thawed and, you know, all of the components to put something together. And usually we're, you know, doing all the work that needs done on the farm and getting everything ready for the show. And we realize at 3 o'clock we haven't had lunch. So we run down to Subway down the road from our house and grab a sandwich. And then like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, we realize we haven't had supper and we make loaded baked potatoes because you can make that in 45 seconds or less.
Well, I don't cook when I die, so Wayne grills out a lot. Or we just have, like, grilled cheese. We ate out way too much this month.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, we said when we started the fall show season that we were going to make dinner in the crock pot so it would be ready when we were done working, and we never really got enough time to put anything in the crock pot or even thaw anything to put in the crock pot. And I did go get some groceries, but it was like bagels, so we would have breakfast. We always had breakfast, but then after we got breakfast over with, it just kind of went downhill. Sideways. Yeah.
Well, yesterday Wayne fixed vegetable soup in our crock pot, so I actually had real lunch yesterday. And he manned the booth while I had lunch.
Well, you know, at our place, this time of year, you know, in September, we're still finishing up hay, and then we're getting the barns cleaned and spreading manure so that everything's clean and ready for the animals to be inside in winter when it gets cold and when we're starting to lamb. And we're starting to breed, so we've got breeding groups in the barn, and they have to have, you know, food and water.
Romantic and music and
dim lighting and, you know, a little Barry White. But, so there's still an awful lot going on the farm. But the good news is when we get back, we've got like 3 more chores to do. And then November and December are kind of just like maintenance running in circles. You know, fixing little, you know, cracked windows or whatnot before winter, and, you know, maintaining the breeding groups, and, then as the pastures stop growing and go dormant, then we'll start feeding hay and grain, but we can finally, you know, get a little bit of break from the outdoor, chores and start thinking about, doing some project indoors that have been that have been off the schedule since March of last year when the lamb started hitting the ground.
My house is in such a state that I kind of dread going home because it's got to be decluttered before it can be cleaned, and it desperately needs both. So maybe if I make enough at this show and I can get my house decluttered, I'm going to call the maid service and have them come in and overhaul everything.
I
had a maid service until we bought the camper, and then it was either I could have the camper or the maid service. And while the camper is fabulous, my house would appreciate the maid service.
Well, when your world revolves around manure, and hay, there's not a whole lot of maid service can do for me.
True.
So
I have people in and out of my house every week, so I have to try to keep it in some semblance, even though my students will come in and go, they'll sniff and go, you're doing that thing again with the yarn.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what are you going to do? I can't not dial days that I teach because I'm out of town the rest of the week, usually.
Yep. Well, November is my deep cleaning. I do my spring cleaning in November because during the spring I'm on 2-hour lamb runs. Because I have to check my barn every 2 hours to see who's in labor and who's in some stage of delivery. And, you know, somebody who's already delivered is, you know, up and nursing. So I don't get a whole lot done in between the 2-hour lamb runs.
And this is the sexy lives we lead. As transient wool merchants. It's really a lot of fun. We're just really, really, really tired right now. And kind of just done.
This is real talk.
This is like, I want to put my head down on the dinette right now and go to sleep. There's not really room.
But you know what? We each got a skein of the Miss Babs Saf colorway.
That we did. And I picked up some for friends. It is. And I got a kit to do some kind of shawly poncho thing. It's got 3 skeins of yarn. And I just made the terrible discovery that it's knit on size 2 needles.
Oh, Lord.
And it's like 1,200 yards.
Well, when I noticed it was a Martina Bem, I didn't want to tell you that usually her stuff is like lace on size 1s forever.
You probably should have mentioned that, because I probably would have bought the yarn and then just found another pattern for it.
Well, I'm watching a lot of the podcasters knit the Viajante, which is another Martina Bem, and Tubularity, which they're both like sort of poncho tubey kind of cowl things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to describe them. But they're like either lace weight or light fingering on teeny tiny needles forever. Just stockinette for days.
Well, I figure 1,200 yards, that's like knitting 3 pairs of socks. And I can knit a pair of socks in a week if I put my mind to it.
So this is going to be the never-ending project.
Probably. And I've got quite a few things on the needles that need finished. But, The Hobbit Extended Edition Desolation of Smaug comes out on Tuesday with extra features. I'm a complete Tolkien nerd. I foresee some knitting in my chair with probably a glass of wine.
Well, I'm going to be knitting Shetland all week because on Saturday, at the end of this week, sometime when my dinger goes off on my phone and tells me to go to the airport, I am flying to Seattle for the week to go to Explore 4 with Deb Robeson, the Shetland retreat, and I am so excited about that I could just about wet myself. I adore our Shetland sheep. They're the spunkiest little critters and just cute as a button. And ours actually have really nice fleeces on them because, well, I picked them for that. And we call them the Kardashians because all of ours are, they have the socket markings, which is black around their eyes. So we started calling them the Kardashians because they all have a smoky eye. So they're adorable little sheep. And Boris, our little ram, is, well, he's 8 or 9, he's an old man, but he's just so cool. And Scooter Pie gets to spend so much time you know, scratching his chin. And usually our barn work takes like 20 to 30 minutes to feed everybody, because we don't really have anybody in this time of year. They're on pasture. But Scott's gone like an hour, hour and a half, and I'm like, where have you been? And he's like, smell my sleeve. That's Moon Bear. I'm like, are you hanging out with Romney Ram again? He's like, yeah, he looked lonely, so I went over to talk to him, and we just ended up hanging out for a little while. He'll come in, I'm like, what were you doing? He's like, oh, well, I was just standing out there talking to Boris. I'm like, dude, you really need friends. You need a hobby.
That's why he has his other job.
Yeah, his little job at Columbia to be around humans. People. Yeah, for his
Because we get really weird because we all work at home. And even though I have students come to the house, that's talking to small people, generally. I have some adult students, but that's like work and talking to short people and no profanity. And sometimes you just kind of go talk to people.
Scooter and I are 24/7 together, and the big joke is I'll look at him and say, Scooter, tell me a story. And he looks at me and says, babe, you've been with me every minute of every day for the last 3 weeks. You were there. There's no story you don't know. I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, so yeah. He has a little job at Columbia Sportswear. And so you can get his camo for a discount. And he goes there and interacts with humans and then comes home and
tells stories.
Yes, tells me about what's going on in the real world, because I'm usually knitting or, you know, playing with the animals and trying to keep my son in diesel fuel for the tractor to, you know, when he's out in the field doing hay, I'm the one running back and forth to the gas station to fill up the diesel cans. And
Wayne's going to Montana again in November. I'm really jealous.
You love Montana. You're going to move there.
I am going to move there.
I can't even imagine.
It's going to happen. But mentioning the boys, they're still in the boots unattended. And I told Wayne he had to sell at least 5 skates, so I should probably go check up on him.
But that's the thing. They do much better than we do. It's yeah. Funny. It's like the women like to shop with the
it's
guys.
It's like they feel bad for them, so they go to the booth and they're like, oh, sweetheart, your wife left you here by yourself. Oh, I better buy something so she doesn't get mad at you. Ladies, keep buying. Ladies, they are snickering you. They know what they are doing. Now, Wayne may make up what needle size you need, but he knows about the actual yarn.
Yeah. Scooter Pie's getting pretty good at it, and he's actually going to take the Deb Robson Shetland retreat with me, which should be interesting since he doesn't know how to spin.
I was supposed to teach him this weekend.
Yeah, he thinks he's going to learn how to drop spindle, like, I don't know, in the airport or on the plane.
It's not that difficult.
No, I keep telling him people have been making string with a stick for thousands of years. There's really no trick to it.
Draft. Yeah. Draft more. So next time, excuse me, I was drinking Dr. Pepper. That was really sexy. Next time we're going to talk about our purchases at the past bunch of shows. And probably about how the rest of SAF went, a SAF recap.
Yep.
And figure everything else out after that.
Deb Robson.
And more Deb Robson.
And then I do still have Indie Knit and Spin coming up, like November 15th or something, in Pittsburgh. And then it'll be...
And then we need to talk about Christmas knitting.
Oh, Christmas knitting.
Because Amy thinks I'm nuts, and I have a schedule, so... I have a Christmas knitting schedule.
And I'm still trying to figure out who's knitworthy.
So,
with the Columbia discount, Scooter wants to get everybody fleeces. And he's like, oh, and you can knit them all scarves to match. And I'm like, no, I can't.
I don't think so.
Nope, not happening.
So, we're going to talk about maybe some Christmas knitting, how shows are going, that kind of thing next time. So, it'll hopefully be more interesting and less tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on that note, let's wrap this up, and we will talk to you next time. I'm Heather.
And I'm Amy.
The Transient Wool Merchants.
See you soon.